The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in a believer after salvation? And when one is saved, he's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then he sets up a classroom and teaches him to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, and to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. He also comforts us, helps us to pray, helps us in tribulation. He also produces fruit. Such as the, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those ninefold fruit of the Spirit is present in every child of God. Everyone who's been saved has that fruit, and by your fruit, you're known. He also gives gifts to every man. I believe He gives gifts when you're born, you're gifted. And when you're saved, God wants you to use those gifts for His glory, and He empowers you to do that at that time. We said in previous lessons upon this question, we've dealt with there were three types of gifts, sign gifts and speaking gifts and serving gifts. But the sign gifts has been passed away. The sign gift was given to authenticate the ministry, vindicate the ministry of someone that, in other words, that came on the scene. A person to say, hey, this man's sent from God. And they're passed away. We don't need that now. We've got the Word of God. That which is perfect has come, and therefore we don't need the sign gifts anymore. They'll be operative again in the end time, but they're going to be for the unbeliever. The saints of God will not follow after signs. Be careful looking for signs. It will get you in trouble. But we've got speaking gifts and serving gifts, which the Holy Ghost has so graciously given us. He also calls you into service after you're saved so that you can utilize the gifts that God has for you, has given you, that you might utilize them for God's glory. And then we said also He empowers you to be a witness. And in other words, He said after you come upon the power, Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll have power to be a witnesses of Me. And that's what it's about. Now, a witness is one who can give a first-hand detailed account of what they have experienced. He just tells how he was saved. That's all he's got to do. And if you're saved, you can witness by life and belief. I'm amazed at how many times people talk about things that happen. They'll tell you the different things, situations around the salvation experience, but they can't break down the work of godly sorrow that works repentance. And they can't tell you about how God brought you to the end of yourself. And by the way, you've got to come to the end of yourself before you'll ever be saved. But that's part of being a witness. Just tell what God did for you. Give a first-hand, detailed account. Now, that's what we deal with so many times about specifics in salvation. And people want to they say, well, we're confusing people. Oh, no, we're not confusing people. We're just trying to turn on the light and let you see the confusion that's already there. Some people call it progressive salvation. Oh, no, salvation's instantly. But there is a progression coming to the end of yourself. Understanding's got to come, and God's got to bring you to that, and you ought to be able to tell that. You realize something? God put over 40 chapters in the Old Testament concerning the tabernacle, which pictures salvation, and the knob here and a board there and a socket here. And if you're not careful, you get just sort of draggy when you go to read those scriptures, because it's a lot of repetition, specific, detailed account. You ought to be able to witness and give a first-hand, detailed account of what the Lord's done for you if you've really been saved. Now, the favorite term that most people use in our churches today is not witness. They don't like the word witness. They use the term soul winner. Well, there's only one place in the Bible where that term is used, and that's in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, where it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The word winneth there means to persuade and influence, and that's exactly what a witness does. The Bible says for saints to be witnesses. That's all that He ever said to do. Therefore, we should obey the Scripture and leave the soul winning to the Holy Ghost. For He's the soul winner. We're not. We're just to be a witness and using our speaking gifts and our serving gifts that God may use that to speak the hearts of people. But He empowers saints to be a witness. And that means He works out what the Lord put on the inside. And that's what Philippians 2:12-13 said. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, He empowers us to be a witness even in terrible times. The Bible speaks of some terrible times that saints are going to come up on in Luke 21:10-18. Then He said unto them, and they'd ask, when's all this going to be in the end times and whatnot? He said, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In other words, the power to be a witness even in terrible times comes from the Holy Ghost. And then, by the way, this power only comes after His calling. And you've got to have an effectual call to salvation before you have that power to be a witness or called into special service. And so, therefore, we need directions where to go and to whom we should go to be a witness to. Matthew 10:1 said, and when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now remember, these were sign gifts in the early days, and they've been done away. We have speaking gifts, and we've got serving gifts. And so therefore, the Holy Spirit empowers you to be a witness, give a first-hand detailed account of what He's done. Another thing the Holy Spirit does for a believer after that he's saved, He's going to resurrect him one day. The saints of God are all going to be resurrected. Romans 8:11 said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 1:6 said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Christ refers to the rapture, when all saints will have their glorified bodies. In other words, all will be there. Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now here the salvation is referring to the part called glorification or the resurrection. You see, there's three parts of salvation. We've dealt with that in a question before. There's a part of justification where the Spirit is saved from the penalty of sin. There's a part of sanctification where the soul is being day by day saved from the power of sin. And one day there will be glorification where the body will be saved from the presence of sin and therefore to be resurrected. And that's what he's talking about there. Our salvation is nearer than when we were believed. Then when we first were saved, our glorification is nearer than it was at that point in time. 1 Peter 1:3-9. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaven is through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Again, this is referring to glorification in these verses or the resurrection. Now, I know the rapture, as some people say, oh, the rapture is not in the Bible. The word's not there. And it's not a Bible word, but it is a Bible principle. Because 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, it said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That phrase, shall be caught up, is where we get the word rapture from. And he explains more about this in 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this victory is through the Lord Jesus, but it's wrought by the Holy Ghost of God, because He's the one who works that in us and brings us and resurrects us on Resurrection Day. And so we're dealing with this question, what does the Holy Spirit do for a believer after that he's saved? In other words, what's the Holy Spirit's work in a believer after salvation? Well, He teaches us. He comforts us. He produces fruit in us because the fruit of the Spirit is there because the Spirit is there. He that hath not the Spirit is none of His. He also gives gifts, and then he uses those gifts, calls you into service. And of course, when He does that, he gives you power to be a witness, and then He's going to resurrect you one day. So we've dealt with this, and I guess a little exhaustive in these seven parts, I believe it is, that we have in this. But I beg you, I know I've said some things sometime that maybe go against your tradition or go against your terminology, and realize something sometimes. We have different terminologies in different areas, and because of our different studies and whatnot. Because the Bible says, study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't know about you, but I want truth. That's all I want is truth. And truth won't hurt you. And the truth about the Holy Spirit is something that will not hurt you. Many people leave out the work of the Holy Spirit. Many people, even in Baptist churches, you'd be surprised how many today do not even believe in the work of Holy Spirit conviction to bring a person to salvation. And therefore, they're just doing what they're doing in their own power, going about their own way. Sure, the Lord gave them gifts. We understand that He uses speaking gifts and serving gifts. They're there, but they're not necessarily using them for God's glory rightly. If it's not through the local New Testament church, it's not right. So I beg you to ask us questions. If something has stirred you and maybe stung you a little bit, just don't get mad about it. Just ask us a question. You can send it by email, snail mail, or call us on the phone, or whatever. And we'll try to answer specifics. Even in this is a general question that we're having in this part here, but we'll try to answer the specific question for you from the Word of God. It's not what I say, it's what thus saith the Word of God. Remember, I love you, and God wants us, as called us into this ministry, to be a help to you. I don't want to be a hindrance or a hurt. I want to be a help to you. And so if you'll just embrace truth and find truth and embrace it, you'll find the Lord will do a work in your heart. He'll bring you through. So I want you to know we love you. We're praying for you, and pray the Lord will just do something unusual in your life in the days to come. May He call you into service and save you and call you into service and use you, those gifts He's put in you, to glorify Him in the days to come. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.